Having walked along a military mule track, you are just below the source of the Rio del Piso stream, in sections carved into the rock and always a few meters below the ridge. The footpaths which soldiers used to access the front line positions beyond the ridge are still visible on the rise above, in close proximity to the Tonal Col. You are surrounded by dense green alder vegetation alternating with rhododendron patches. The views over to the far side, with Cima Caddy and Mount Serradine standing out, are enchanting. Hidden amongst the vegetation there are three cave shelters to the left, just before the ruined aqueduct. From these positions Italian soldiers had an excellent view of the Austrian defences located, since the beginning of the war, on the Monticelli Ridge as it moves northwards from Paradiso Pass. Just a few hours before war was officially declared, at 0 hours on 24 May 1915, the band of Italian soldiers based at Paradiso Pass was ordered to abandon this position and move down into the valley. This withdrawal had a significant impact on later military action in this area. In fact, all subsequent Italian attempts to take Paradiso Pass and the Presina Basin were inexorably halted by stubborn Austrian resistance, and it was only on 24 to 25 May 1918 that part of the Monticelli Ridge was taken. From August 1915 to February 1916, great writer Carlo Emilio Gadda, then 22 and studying engineering at Milan Polytechnic, was sent to the Upper Camonica Valley as 2nd Lieutenant of the 5th Alpini Regiment. An extract from his war diary provides glimpses of the innovative language which was such a feature of his most important work, from Adelgisa, Udine Castle, that awful mess on Via Marulana to the cognition of pain. Edolo. 2 September 1915, the song was lost mournfully across that foggy valley as if I had created it in my place, and with my imagination I thought that a high choir would resonate religiously for the said valley, punctuated with jokes following on from leaping voices, in amebe exchange, in awkward drunk human bear dances which come to life in the damp autumnal aquavite. A chubby, elderly one lollops around the meadows, in the middle of the choir circle, and complains that nose and belly and feet hurt and the mist is very, very cold. The other one is young and sneers at him, forward and back, on his face, until he takes him by that silly nose and by rocking that big face, he squeezes it for warmth, and that one cries and weeps while the choir follows on in leaps and the other rocks and squeezes. Until tragically the joke ends with a sudden noise, the distant thus of the shells. And with this the choral wave lights up, suddenly and totally, as if the wind had risen suddenly in that most powerful and general way it has, passing through pain and regret with breaks for shock and bursts of anxiety and melds into anger and is lost. This is the solitude of the rock faces, the space under the towers, the fog which rises from the deep like smoke in a landless valley, the silence in which mountains are left when men disappear, and #8230. But the mountain was good and round with meadow shoulders and chestnut beards.